Mini-episode 956 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 956 and our stats, notes, and oddities preview of Super Bowl 52. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here, and my playoff run has been a real mess. 1-3 last week, counting the sides and totals. So I'm 3-9 in the postseason now, 135, 132, and 8 on the year. This will not be my third consecutive year above 52.4% on all games, although I reached that mark in the regular season. Again, during the regular season, I was 31-18-2, or 63.3% on my big three, and was 12-5, or 70.6% on my lock picks. And with my 56.3% mark in college football, this has still been my best year on the gridiron. We just missed the Jacksonville-Philadelphia Super Bowl, and ironically, when the Eagles were last in the big game, Super Bowl 39, it was against New England in Jacksonville. Ironically, the Pats lost their highly regarded offensive and defensive coordinators to head coaching jobs immediately after that game, and that process will repeat itself at the final gun on Sunday night. They suffered their longest Super Bowl victory drought of this entire run, an entire decade coming off of that game, and with the amount of time that Brady and Belichick have left together, they cannot afford to take as long to regroup coming off of this game, no matter how it ends up. Also, Chris Collinsworth, then with Fox, was on the broadcast team for that game, as he will be this time for NBC with Al Michaels, who was also previously on Super Bowls with NBC and ABC. This brings us our sixth matchup of teams that have squared off previously on the biggest stage, with Dallas and Pittsburgh having met three times. The Patriots have had a return engagement against one other team, ironically Philly's NFC East rivals the Giants, and famously they lost both games. Last time New England beat Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, they won their third Super Bowl in 4 years, a feat only matched by Dallas from 1992 to 1995, and a win right here would match that exact feat. The Pats are also the first team to make it to 10 Super Bowls, a feat propped up by making 8 of them en route to becoming the first franchise to become Team of the Decade in consecutive decades. That previous Super Bowl in 2005 marked the latest chapter in a rivalry between two of America's oldest cities that now goes back over a century in various sporting contexts. In the 1914 World Series, the Boston Braves beat the Philadelphia A's, and a year later, the Boston Red Sox beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Fast forward to 1974, when the Philadelphia Flyers took the Stanley Cup Finals from the Boston Bruins. Probably the most famous battles between the cities surrounded the intense Sixers-Celtics wars of the early 1980s on the NBA hardwood. This is the 12th East Division versus East Division matchup in the Super Bowl. Even if you count today's North Divisions as the lineal descendants of the old Central Divisions as we do, this is the most common matchup on this stage since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. The second most common matchup is the AFC Central slash North versus the NFC West, having happened 8 times. Philly is 7th in our FDH power rankings, New England is 1st. In our FDH strength of schedule, Philly is 25th, New England is 12th. In our FDH impressiveness of wins, Philly is 12th, New England is 1st. In DVOA, Philly is 5th, New England is 6th. In offensive DVOA, Philly is 8th, New England is 1st. In offensive yardage, Philly is 7th, New England is 1st. In defensive DVOA, Philly is 5th, New England is 31st. In defensive yardage, Philly is 4th, New England is 29th. The Eagles are getting 4.5 down from 6 at the open. The total is 48, up from 46.5 at the open. In a year in which injuries are battling with flag kneeling as the defining elements of the season, something the league surely can't love, these two teams have not been immune from seeing key contributors go down. For New England, most recently, of course, we saw Gronk go down with a concussion on Championship Sunday from that helmet-to-helmet hit. But before that, Julian Edelman, long a linchpin of the rhythm passing game, went out, as did star linebacker Dante Hightower. Philly's losses have been more obvious, from franchise quarterback in the making Carson Wentz to scat back Darren Sproles, who has been a staple of the underneath passing game for what feels like a century now, to one of the best offensive tackles of this generation, Jason Peters. Considering that the Eagles were the only team to value Doug Peterson as a head coaching commodity 2 years ago, they and he are to be commended for their quick turnaround from the Chip Kelly era. With Wentz at QB for the Eagles, there would be a pretty strong consensus that we've got the top two teams playing in this game. Without him, with Philadelphia trying to get Nick Foles to be Jeff Hostetler 2K18, the Eagles are an underdog for the third straight game, something that's unheard of for a top seed in either conference. They rode a strong defense and incredible home field advantage through the NFC playoffs to this stage, albeit it's really worth wondering how they would have fared against New Orleans. While the loss of Wentz on the surface gives you very little hope that Philly can topple New England, the Patriots were susceptible to a strong effort from Blake Bortles for three quarters in the AFC Championship game. The Eagles must learn from the Jags, who got a little timid in their play calling in the fourth quarter. Playing tight, playing not to lose, they made it that much easier for the Pats. Think back also to the solid but barely functional NFC divisional game against the Falcons, when Foles was just assigned not to lose the game. Those five field goals barely got the job done. After the performance that Foles put up against a Minnesota defense that is far tougher than New England's, Philadelphia must trust him to be aggressive throughout. Going into a shell would be a self-fulfilling prophecy. In terms of comparative stats, keeping in mind that Philly played most of the year with Wentz, their third down percentage was a little bit better, 41.7% to 40.6%. It should be no surprise that the gap was much bigger defensively, as the Eagles only let teams convert third down successfully a stingy 32.2% of the time, while the Pats let teams get there 39.4% of the time. Of course, as we covered, Philadelphia played a much weaker schedule. If the Eagles can keep Brady closer to their 32.2% allowed rate than the 40.6% number that the Patriots attained, they'll be well on their way to the upset. Another hint towards the upset scenario lies in time of possession, as New England averaged 30 minutes 37 seconds with the ball while Philly was all the way up to 32-41. Deion Lewis is a tremendous talent with both the run and the pass, while James White hurts you in both areas as well, but pound you they do not. J.A.J.A. can, as can a fellow named LeGarrette Blount, who was of course on this stage last year and should be sufficiently motivated for this one. Nick Foles' best friends will be his backs. If they can tilt the time of possession solidly in Philly's favor, again, the upset scenario looms. The Eagles only allowed a league-best 79.2 yards per game on the ground during the regular season, which would be very daunting for the Patriots except for the fact that they have used the short pass as an extension of the run game for years. Still, Atlanta and Minnesota were not successful in having their backs serve as difference makers against Philadelphia, albeit at hostile Lincoln Financial Field and out in those punishing winter elements that will be a rooftop away in the Twin Cities Dome. Here's a third key point statistically. Part of New England's blah year defensively, which was only redeemed somewhat in the second half and in the AFC playoffs, came from their lack of turnovers generated. They were 25th in the league. Philadelphia was 4th. It goes without saying that if the Eagles can somehow make Brady look more human than he usually does on this stage, that they'll be well on their way to victory, but the other side of the ball is equally important. Foles must couple the aggressiveness that we referenced earlier with a lack of interceptions and fumbles. If threading this needle seems difficult, reflect back on the key reason that a team with the season that Philly's had as an underdog yet again. At the same time, though, they've put up big offensive efforts against tough defenses like Denver and Minnesota, albeit the first one was obviously with Wentz. And again, while it would be foolhardy to expect New England to come into this game with the trash defense that they had in the first half of the season, they're still anything but elite. So in terms of the biggest keys to the game, they are as follows. Foles being aggressive yet avoiding mistakes, because New England is almost unbeatable when you spot them turnovers and it's hard to see Foles leading a big comeback victory. Philly getting effective pressure on Brady with a four-man rush, which they're more than capable of doing and is by far the best way to hinder the New England offense. And the Eagles' success or lack thereof in helping to control the clock with their power running game. You need a minimum of two, and in all likelihood, all three of these elements to pick the upset, and that feels like expecting someone to draw the inside straight in poker. That doesn't seem terribly likely given the fact that the Eagles are coming off of arguably their best game of the year, given the level of opposition that they faced in the Vikings, and in this wacky postseason, the next team to play two great games in a row will be the first. We don't think it will be Philly. And that note there foreshadows how we see it shaking out. Here's an incredible stat courtesy of 538.com. In the Brady Belichick era, the Patriots are 15-0 in the playoffs against a team that they have not faced earlier in the season. And of course, the Pats and Eagles didn't meet this year. Much has been made in the last few weeks about the brilliance of Doug Peterson, the coach that nobody else wanted 2 years ago, and the staff that he's assembled, and how this is the rare big game in which the New England coaching staff does not loom large over their counterparts. We tend to forget that 16 years ago, New England came into the Super Bowl as large underdogs against a St. Louis team with a historically great offense, seeking their second world championship in 3 years, and they not only beat them, but displaced them as the dominant team in the game. Now the Eagles will be seeking to do the same, but accomplishments such as the one notched by the Pats a decade and a half ago are exceedingly rare. The changing of the guard at the top of the NFL is coming, and maybe it will be Philadelphia that emerges as the top team of the next era, but it says here that it won't be coming on Sunday. The pick is New England winning and covering, 24-19, with the under hitting as well. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.